This episode is brought to you by Beach Bathrooms. Ever wondered if that's pee or water? You'll never know. Welcome back, welcome back. If you're new here, welcome to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. We be ripping, we be dripping, and everything else. I, as always, am Benjamin, your humble host, the greatest host of all time, coming at you live, pre-recorded from Austin, Texas. It's me. Hey, how you doing? How you doing, buddy? You doing all right? How'd that meeting go? That's good. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you, but hey, it's that time of the week. It's that Saturday, and you're probably wondering, like, man, seems like he put this one out a little later than usual. And I did, because I took a nap, and that nap went from 1 hour into, like, 7 hours. And then, next thing you know, I mean, I just, the rest of the day, it's gone. Bada bing. Did I watch way too much Bachelor in Paradise? Absolutely. Are we going to talk about the Bachelor in Paradise? Absolutely. That's going to be at the end, because I gotta support my movie bros. I'm so sorry. Oh my God. That's it. We're already starting with things that are going to get me canceled. But we gotta take care of the movies first, which we're going to get right into. I'm not going to talk about gas stations or anything like that. I haven't had any crazy gas station experiences. Although, hey, 7-Eleven, you need to do some control, like, over the quality of each location. I went to a 7-Eleven brought to you by 7-Eleven recently. And I say that those are what I call the 7-Elevens that actually serve gas station under a 7-Eleven like name versus like a 7-Eleven that serves gas out of a Chevron. But 7-Eleven brought to you by 7-Eleven. I went to one and it above and beyond what the Chevron one was giving me. The Chevron one, they never have the taquitos. They never have the wings. They got the pizza and the mini tacos. And I'm like, yo, bro, where's the roller grill items, guy? I want a hot dog. They never have the hot dogs, so looks like I know where my 7-Eleven's going. I just go for the Red Bulls, 2 for $3. They got the 3 for $2. I don't know why. This episode is not sponsored by 7-Eleven. And I already said that I wasn't going to talk about gas stations, and here I am talking about gas stations. Gas stations more. Oh, God. But anyway, we're going to be moving on. Sorry, if it sounded like I completely changed the tone of my voice, it's because I did. I had to pause it there because I was talking about gas stations way too long. The conversation, I'm not going to lie to you, I recorded about 10 more minutes of gas station content, and I had to cut it off. We may be a gas station review podcast, but not that much, okay? So we're going to move on. We're going to talk about trailers of the week, because I do have a couple trailers that I want to talk about. Oh, what's that? What is he going to talk about? What could Benji possibly talk about? Listen, you know me. You know me, guy. If you listen to this podcast, you know me, guy. Hey, guy, you know me. So you know that your boy doesn't like Netflix originals, not that much. But when I do like a Netflix original, boy, oh boy, do we got it coming. One of my favorite Netflix originals, aside from Daredevil, is going to be You. And it's because, you know, it probably is because of the fact that I'm Mexicano and I like the drama, which is something you guys are starting to learn from me. I like the drama, but also one thing I do like is watching people get murdered, which if you call a therapist on me might mean that I have little tendencies, which I don't. You can talk to my mommy. We got that all sorted out. Thanks to the love and power of Jesus Christ. I'm a sane man, and you can't study me. Okay. That's my rights. You can't study me. I don't know, if you have not seen You, you gots to, I'm not going to spoil anything because of the fact that, like, this is genuinely a show. Well, actually, you know what? I don't care. I don't care. The show's been out for like 2 years. Season two was my pandemic show. And if you haven't seen it yet, I don't care. You're a moron. That's what it is, okay? You have to watch You. Because it's great. It's great. And if you don't want spoilers, then pause it here, because I'm probably going to release some information. I really can't control myself. I have no self-control. And you know that. You know that. If you listen to this podcast, you know that. You know that. You season three, the trailer looks insane. Love, obviously, still as unhinged as ever. What a lovely couple. And, there's just, this show takes the themes of the past two seasons and takes it to another level. Like, hey, Joe, stop killing people, dog. You're making it out of here by the skin of your teeth. But one of the things I find so hilarious is the fact that, like, the minute that, like, you would imagine that this dude, who is a murderer, the minute that his love, his crush, oh, this is the girl that I love so much, and her name is literally Love, which I thought was going to be cheesy, but ends up being so cool. But this girl who I thought was so perfect and beautiful in the world, oh, what? She likes murdering people too? Oh, Joe, it looks like you found your forever person. It looks like you found the perfect mate. And Joe's like, wow, I can't believe you are such a horrible person, Love. Which is like, it adds to just how mentally not okay Joe is. Because to think, like, you literally killed the first girl you liked, bro. You literally killed season one chick. I forgot what her name was. It doesn't matter. You killed Guinevere or Beck or whatever her name was. It's both of those. I know, because I have IMDb in front of me. Your boy's a fact checker. And I didn't say fat checker, and if you did think that I said fat checker, you're hurting my feelings. I'm sorry. This is all over the place. Legitimately, Joe's ridiculous, bro. Like, how are you going to be the murderer? You're gonna murder people, and then when you find out that the person you love murders people, you're all of a sudden, that's the deal breaker for you. Oh, this person knows I murder people and is willing to put up with that and murder people with me. Ooh, what a turnoff. And now he's just digging himself a deeper hole because now his neighbor, because he's a horny boy. Joe's a horny boy. He can't control himself, dude. He can't control himself. The dude's got issues. The dude's got issues out the wazoo, and I don't understand it. And that's just how it is, dude. That's just how it is. And if you hear things in the background of this episode, I don't care. Okay? I live in a cult house. You're just gonna have to deal with it. All right? I don't care. People live, man. So if you hear something, don't come at me. Don't come at me on Twitter at TickerRipperPod about the audio. Your boy's broke. Your boy can't afford a studio. Although, Stay tuned. Here, let me do the ad. Coming soon to the Ticket Ripper podcast video. I think I'm gonna start doing video with this, because I feel like I have fun, and I feel like you guys get to hear me have fun enough, but I feel like some people are visual peeps. Some people like to just have my face on in the background, all five of you. I don't know how well it'll do. I don't care. But I mean, I want to put my chips in this, you know? And so I might as well put my chips in this. So, share with your peeps so that I can put my chips in here. I don't know what that means. Something about gambling. I don't know about anything about gambling, because your boy's a good Christian boy. Your boy, my mom and dad are probably like, yeah. your boy's a good baby. Your boy's a good baby. I never gamble because, and here's the reason, if you really want to know the real reason why I don't gamble, it's not because of the fact that I was raised in a very Christian, very conservative household, which I'm not doxing myself by saying that. If that's a problem with you, come at me, bro. Come at me, bro. I don't care. Okay? I don't care. But, I mean, that definitely is one of the reasons, like, people are like, what? You don't know Usher? I'm like, I listened to one song by Usher because it was the most popular song on the planet at the time. And I had a buddy named Gerardo, and that dude listened to everything. That dude introduced me to Daddy Yankee, and I was like, yeah, that ain't for me, dog. meanwhile, I was listening. Dude, people were listening. My wife shows me all the music that she was listening to at the same age that I was. And I'm like, she's showing me songs that are like, you listen to these lyrics and you're like, oh yeah, this is like the Meg the Stallions of the time. And I'm over here like listening to VeggieTales and Skillet. And we just come from two different worlds. But that's not what we're talking about. What was I even getting to? Oh, but the reason why you would imagine that's because of the fact that's my background. That's the reason I don't gamble. The reason I don't gamble is because I know I'm bad at it. I know in my heart and in my soul, I'm cursed to lose with like any sort of like lottery or anything like that. I'm just forever never going to be able to win that. I think it's a family thing. Something about like my great great grandfather being a traitor to Mexico or something like that, and we're never gonna be rich. but so essentially, I think that's the reason why I don't gamble. It's because I'm afraid I'm gonna lose really bad. But also, I have addictive tendencies. Like I'll get into stuff hard, bro. And so I'm afraid I'm just going to be like a horrible gambler. That's not what I want with my life. I'm trying to get that money, you know, not lose it. Gambling is white. This episode is bad, man. Just like golf. But that's you, man. The trailer looks great. And did I talk about the trailer for almost 10 minutes? Absolutely. Am I proud of it? Probably not. Did I have another trailer to talk about? Yes. Am I going to talk about it more? Not really. Nightmare Alley, Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo del Toro, if you don't know, if that name rings a bell, he's Pan's Labyrinth.
You ever heard of Pan's Labyrinth? Did you ever hear about Pan's Labyrinth? Oh, you never heard of Pan's Labyrinth, baby?
Pan's Labyrinth is a masterpiece. And Guillermo del Toro is a masterclass director, and he's doing Nightmare Alley with your boy Bradley Pitt, your girl Rooney Mara, your queen Kate Blanchett, and he's crazy, he's wild, he's not at all what you expect in any movie ever. He was your Green Goblin and the most horrifying thing you've ever seen in a comic book movie. He is Willem Dafoe. Did you remember Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin in Spider-Man 1? Dude, that guy was scary, huh? Remember when he like busted out of that machine and he just like ripped? And he just chokes that dude out. I'm like, yo, bro, that's your lead scientist. Maybe don't kill him. Maybe not a wise choice, considering that obviously this serum has a couple of side effects that you might need to figure out later in time.
That movie rocks, though. I need to watch it again. Nightmare Alley, if you haven't seen the trailer, I'm not going to talk more about it, but it looks great. It looks fantastic. It looks exactly like what you expect from a Guillermo del Toro movie, and you have to say it like that, porque la raza. And if that's a problem with you, you can get the Toni Collette, she should have won an Oscar, but hey, now maybe she will. Not at all, because the Oscars hate her. Nightmare Alley looks great. Go watch it. Go watch the both of those trailers and treat yourself. And now we're going to talk about I guess I could talk a little bit about one of the movies that I watched recently. And if you haven't seen it, you have a little bit more time to go watch it for free on HBO. It's called Malignant. And let me tell you right now, if you aren't watching this for free on HBO, I highly recommend it. Let me preface this. When I say I highly recommend watching it for free on HBO, the emphasis is for free on HBO with your subscription, not on go watch it. This movie is, if you watch the trailer, go watch the trailer right now, or watch the trailer before you watch it, okay? You get hyped up. You love it. You're like, wow, this movie looks gnarly. And then you watch the movie. I promise you, you're going to feel so misled. This movie is the most... This movie is the definition of a hard left field. Like, out of nowhere, this movie takes a turn you never thought it was going to take. Like, which is really funny because... Oh, and let me just say this. This is one of the two movies that I've seen in the past year, including Black Widow. And by the way, both of these movies can go to hell for this. both of these movies, for some reason, have a title sequence at the beginning of the movie. You know, like, oh, what's... hold on. Some of you are probably thinking to yourself, like... Oh, especially if you're young and you're one of those little TikTok kiddos. You're like, what's a title sequence? A title sequence for all you little babies out there. For the little babies listening to the podcast. A title sequence is Hollywood grabbing you by the neck and holding you hostage and like turning your head at a screen and saying, look who made this movie. Look who made this movie. We've got Chris. We've got, do you know Chris? Oh, you don't know Chris? You don't know these people because it doesn't matter? Because it doesn't change the experience of what the movie feels like? Well, that's too bad. Because for the first 5 minutes, you're going to read.
You're just going to read a bunch of names. And here's some cover of a song that's wasn't even good to begin with. And now we're going to cover it.
I forgot what it was for this one. I think it was like some Nirvana song because it's all Nirvana songs. I think Black Widow did a Nirvana song. But yeah, dude, I'm sitting there for the first 5 minutes of the thing. And it's 5 minutes is not like a joke. Like it felt like an eternity. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, why am I being held hostage by this movie? Can we like skip? But if you pay attention to the title sequence, and this is what I hate about title sequences and movies like these, if you pay attention to the title sequence of the movie gets ruined at the start. They give away everything in the title sequence. The whole bit of the movie is gone in the title sequence. If you pay close enough attention, you get the whole movie in the title sequence. Like you, the twist, the turn, the big turn, it's already there. This movie is weird. And it's weird for this reason. Malignant is strange. And if you have not seen it, I know this is probably a bad podcaster thing to say. If you have not seen this movie and you want to continue to hear my thoughts on this movie, pause it right here. Pause it right here at 17 or 18 minutes. And I want you to go watch the movie and then come back to the podcast. Because I'm gonna ruin it. I'm gonna do the spoiler. Spoiler alert right here. But I don't need to do spoiler alerts because it's been out for a week. And if you haven't seen it yet, you're a moron. It's been out for 8 days, dog.
It's free on HBO. It's free on HBO, dog.
Malignant is a movie about a girl, a woman whose name is Madison Mitchell, and she's in an abusive relationship with some dude, you don't even remember his name, but at the beginning of this movie, he's like, wow, maybe you shouldn't be getting pregnant. Hey guy, that's not how reproduction works. How about you get a vasectomy, dog? How about that, bruv? She's had apparently 3 miscarriages, and he blames her for the miscarriages. Oh, maybe you should just stop having kids. Hey, guy, last I checked, it's your gravy. It's your gravy, huh? Maybe you should put on a condom. like, bro. And anyway, at the beginning of this movie, like, literally, I kid you not. 5 minutes into this movie, this man grabs this chick's face and slams her like WWE, I'm gonna take you down, brother, style, slams her into a wall and like apparently busts her skull open because she's bleeding. She obviously is concussed. And things start happening. That night, she locks herself in that room, obviously, because you don't want to... That dude is like, oh, let me go get you some water or something like that. Oh, I'm so sorry, baby. Ladies. I'm just going to say it, because if you watch this movie, she does not call the police. But ladies or people in these situations. Sorry, I don't mean to say ladies. Ladies or anybody in this situation, here's a good rule of thumb. If they slam your head into a wall and it, like with any force, and it's not like in a air quotes fun way, call the cops. Like, it's so sad that people, we're about to get to a really weird, serious moment, because I know the fact that, like, I know why people don't call the cops in situations like that is because they're, like, in the time that it takes for the cops to get there, sometimes you're not able to get away. Sometimes you're not even able to get to the phone or anything like that. And that's a horrible situation. If you or a loved one have ever been a victim of domestic violence, I'm so sorry. And the United States law system has failed you. And I am beyond sorry. That is one of the scariest and most incredibly stressful things I can imagine. And I know why people don't call the cops in situations like this. It's because, like it's just that's what happens in these situations. And immediately as it happened, I was like, the cops. And I don't know why she didn't. She locked herself in a room. So she was safe at the moment. But I mean, people can like convince themselves or people can be like, oh, no, he's just, you know, he's just a little off or something like that. Like, oh, he's just stressed out from work or anything like that. Nope. It's time to go. I really hope if any, I don't know, this got to a weird point. I don't know how to save this. Anyway, she continues on and weird things happen. That night, somebody breaks into her house, murders her husband, and then like comes in and just busts through her door, my guy. Somebody just breaks the door open. And then she passes out and bada bing. And from there, this movie just gets consistently weirder because we see the villain. We see the villain, and he's just like, imagine the Baba Yaga man or the boogeyman from Sinister. Imagine that dude and just running around, and he's like backwards. And it's really weird. It's really strange. It's very creepy. He's got a little like attic space or like a weird like lair. And he makes a knife out of, like, a thing. But, like, at the way beginning of the movie, they give you this preface of, like, oh, it's, like, this crazy kid from, like, an asylum. And this doctor, like, says, like, oh, we gotta cut out the cancer. Which, at first, you're like, wow, that's a horrible thing to call a child. but and it's so weird because you're just like, oh, well, maybe this kid has, like, a tumor that's giving him, like, superpowers. And they name him, or they call him by the name, I think it's Gabriel. Little Gabe. And so Gabriel speaks through radios, which is pretty cool if you ask me. Sounds like he's an X-Men. Sounds like we could have learned something from his genetics and probably gotten some cool serum to give us superpowers. But hey, I guess not me. But so that's the premise of the movie, is that there's this kid named Gabriel, got, you know, screwed over by some doctors. So we assume this villain is Gabriel, and somehow he survived. Somehow he still has his superpowers or whatnot, and he's on the revenge, my guy. He's on the revenge. And so he goes and he kills the doctor, obvio. He kidnaps some rando, obvio. And holds her up in an attic of somewhere. Holds her somewhere. Like, it looks like an attic. I'm just saying an attic because it looks like an attic. And the dude goes on like a murder rampage, and obviously they're the people at the beginning of the movie who screwed him over. And you're just like, whoa, this Gabriel guy. And somehow he has like something to do with Emily, Madison, who we find out her name originally because she was adopted. Her name originally was Emily, and that's why I'm calling her Emily. Okay, don't come at me with logistics. If you've already seen the movie, then here you go. But the stupid thing. Here's the thing about it.
We start to think it's like, oh, it's like it's like a demon that was like following Emily around. It's like an imaginary friend or something. Like she had like an imaginary friend who was real or something like that. And now it's like going around and killing things or whatnot. Or like maybe the tumor was like a ghost and like now the ghost is loose or something like that. Here's the thing. That's not how it goes. Because as the movie progresses, they start learning more and more about what happened to Emily. And like when she was a kid, she was just kind of weird. And like, she always had this imaginary friend named Gabriel who was always talking to her and calling her on the phone and stuff like that. And we're just like, oh, this is creepy. Like maybe she, like it was possession or something like that. But at the same time, it's so confusing because at the same time, you're simultaneously seeing Gabriel like run around, this town in like Seattle, like running around backwards. Like, imagine Usain Bolt reversed. Just, this is how it goes. Now we're going to get to the kick of it. This is how it goes. Eventually, you find out that Gabriel was the cancer. Gabriel, which, again, horrible thing to call a child. But Gabriel was a parasitic twin that when Emily was born, she was born with her little brother in her bag. Is this thing on? She was born with her little brother in her back. And if that isn't the weird... When they show it, I was like, if that isn't the weirdest thing I've ever seen, I don't know what is. And you're looking at this, and there's a scene where he, like, when they're finding out like what he actually is, there's a scene where he's coming out, like he's like, she like transforms into Gabriel, and essentially it's like this, like, oh, like her bones twist backwards so that she can bend her bones backwards, and then her skull cracks open and you see an eyeball in the back of her head, and you see her on the other side just like dead face, and he's like murdering literally for no reason some chick in like an afro and disco pants, starts beating the like ever living hell out of Emily or Madison for no reason, just because, oh, hey, look at this girl, she looks like she's lived a really privileged life. Yeah, well, you ain't privileged no more, welcome to prison. I'm like, yo, why are you in disco pants? It's modern times. Why are you in disco pants? Did you come from a Halloween party? Because you're in 70s getup, dog. No reason at all. They just start beating on this chick, and then she turns into Gabriel, and the most John Wick thing you've ever seen ensues. Like, literally, this dude kills, not gonna lie, 45 cops. And it's like this beautifully, and I'm gonna say it right now, this beautifully played out, like, choreography of this fight scene. Top, like, one of the best that I've seen, ridiculously good. But when you're just sitting there, you just got the news that this is the parasitic twin, so you see Emily fighting backwards. It's the weirdest thing you've ever seen, and they're like parkouring, dude. Like, legitimately imagine a dude with feet backwards parkouring, just stabbing bros left and right, launching dudes, because he's got like superpowers, so he's launching people, man. People are flying, and that's the movie. And then she gets like power over Gabriel, because she's like, oh, if Gabriel can control me, I can control Gabriel. So she does, and she like gets it under wraps, and then bada bing, that's it. And it's kind of set up to like probably, like, possibly have like an opening for a second, but yeah, that's Malignant. And the reason why this movie is so strange is because, like, aside from that, the like literally everywhere, like, the poster says A New Vision of Terror, which, by the way, yeah, I'll call it that. It is something unlike you've ever seen. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing entirely or a really weird thing. But it's different, for sure. But one of the things that got, like, one of the reasons that I was so excited about is if you watch the trailer, it looks gorgeous. The movie looks like it does some things technically, like as far as like shots and like maneuvers, because that's one of my favorite things about James Wan. James Wan, if you don't know who he is, James Wan directed the first Insidious. He directed The Conjuring. He directed The Conjuring 2. He directed Furious 7, which I guess, give like, sure, maybe, whatever. He directed The Conjuring 2. So this dude, literally, like, his work spawned one of the biggest, like, Warner Brothers, like, well, actually, one of the big, like, the biggest, if not the only, like, successful horror, like, movie universe in existence. Because The Conjuring spawned off, you know, Annabelle, the Annabelle trilogy. Then you had the Conjuring went for its own trilogy. Annabelle went for three movies. What other ones were there? I feel like there were more than that. There was another. Oh, The Nun. And now I don't even think we're done with The Nun. But like, this dude's work was legitimately so good. The Conjuring is, to this day, one of the best horror movies I've ever seen in my life. It's gorgeous. He technically, like, visually, he knows what he wants. And he does, like, some insanely cool things. One of the things, Aquaman was a piece of garbage. If you didn't see Aquaman, you didn't miss out on much. But at the same time, you gotta see it. Aquaman wasn't that great. But one of the things that, like the visuals were obviously garbage. The storyline made no sense. It didn't gel with the rest of the universe. We're not talking about Aquaman, but one of the things that I noticed is that right in the beginning of Aquaman, there's this fight scene where he uses really wide angled lens and he kind of captures a whole area. Like, you get a really good, like, view of the entire area and the people fighting. It's almost like you're watching it through a GoPro or a 360 like camera. And he makes these fight scenes in, like, this sort of, like, feel. And he does them all in, like, one take. Or he tries to make them all feel like one take. Sometimes it's very obvious that where the cuts are. But, like, he does that in this movie as well. Like, there's some stuff. When you're watching Malignant, like, there's a lot wrong. The music in this movie is so weird. The music in this movie is like some. It's like James. That's what I'll get to in a second. Like, James Wan is not a force to be, like, reckoned with, or he's not somebody who's not. He is, I would say, one of the best, like, horror movie directors of our time. And yet, when it comes to this movie, you can see where his visual technical, like, expertise, like, mastery comes into play. Like, there's some shots where I'm just, like, in awe. Like, it's gorgeous. The way that he sets up the house to be feeling so isolated, and then, like, just the fog throughout this movie. There's this scene where they're underneath Seattle. It's gorgeous. There's some parts of this movie that are gorgeous. That fight sequence, as weird as it was to be, like, in the middle of this movie, and then all of a sudden there's a John Wick fight sequence. One of the most expertly crafted fight sequences I've ever seen. And yet, like, I think James Wan is an incredible director. I think he has an incredible vision, but I think the story was massively far-fetched. And I know a lot of people applaud it for that, for how, like, because the people that I'm seeing that applaud it for it are the same people who like older horror movies, who are just, like, you don't watch older horror movies. And I say horror because I don't want to say whore, because my mommy probably listens to this podcast sometimes, and I don't want to say whore, even though I just said it twice. Get off my back. And if you can't figure out if I'm saying whore, that's the problem. But when it comes to, like, horror, like, when you're watching older horror movies, like slasher movies, which I would categorize this as a slasher movie, when you're watching those, you don't watch them for the script quality. You don't watch them for the great, like, even though, like acting-wise, it doesn't take a whole lot. Like, you just be scared. Some people can really do scared really well. There are some people out there that take it to a whole other level. But when it comes to it, like, all you're there for, like, a lot of people are actually there for how goofy some of them are. And that's something that, like, these movies continue on with, is that they are cheesy, they are goofy, they are kitschy. And that's what draws people to some of them. Like, the Halloween ones, I feel like, are surviving on that alone. Like, I'm not watching this because they're good, you know? You watch them because they're entertaining. They're entertaining to watch. They're kind of like a, like, but they're not great, you know? It's kind of like the Saw movies. Like, I'm watching, I'm going to watch people get chopped up because I'm curious and also probably a psychopath. But it's exactly that. And that's what this movie is. But so that's why some people like it. But I don't think the story didn't work. I don't think that the story was a bad idea. I think that the script, the acting, the music, and some of the editing were absolutely some of the worst I've ever seen in my entire existence. This movie reaches some points that are some of the most beautiful things I've seen in horror movies. And I say horror movies because I don't want to say horror. It literally reaches some of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen in horror movies. Like, shots-wise, I've already explained it. But at the same time, it reaches the most B-movie level of quality I have ever seen. The script is so bad in this movie. And it felt lazily put together, which I think James Wan wrote this movie. So I think he's a great director. I think he's a great, like, visual guy. But when it comes to writing the movies, I think without, like, The Conjuring's, like, are loosely based on, like, a true story. But I feel like when he went to go do this movie, I think he should have sought out probably a lot more help with the writing side of it, because it was just wild, man. It, like, the storyline, this movie could have worked, but you beefed it. It felt cheap. It looked cheap in some spots, and it sounded cheap a lot. Like, every once in a while, they'd be like, Gabriel is inside of you. And then the music would go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, it was a TikTok or something like that. Like, it literally goes from, like, Oscar award-winning horror movie straight into Lifetime, like, a Lifetime movie special in a matter of seconds. I don't know if that's James Wan's fault. I don't know if that's somebody else's fault, but it ruined the movie. It ruined the movie. And that's all I'm going to say about Malignant, because of the fact that I spent way too much time on that. We're almost at 40 minutes, and I'm going to continue on because we have to talk about The Batch. We have to talk about The Batch, and I just realized that it sounded like I said a different word that I'm not allowed to say on this podcast because my mommy listens to it, and she's going to get mad at me. But on this episode of, if you have not, watched this most recent episode of Bachelor in Paradise, what you done, huh? You done? Episode 8 just came out, and it wasn't insanely eventful, but we did get some things that we wanted. So here, finally, in this episode, we do start off, we get rid of Brendan and Piper. Sorry, if you haven't watched it, you're a moron, go watch it right now. But we get rid of Brendan and Piper, which, thank God. That dude, I was getting sick and tired of that dude being like, oh, well, like, Natasha didn't have anybody around here. Bro, she didn't have anybody around here. She wasn't making any connections with anybody around here because she was with you for weeks, dude. For weeks, Brendan. Do you not have a soul? Do you not have a soul? Legitimately one of the most annoying situations on the planet. And hearing him talk about it, like, oh, like, the Andrews, like, because because of the fact that everybody's like, yeah, like, what's her name? Natasha goes to, like, the people who confronted Brendan the first time, and they're like, and she's like, nobody fought like this for me, even though this is the same exact thing that happened. And the reason nobody fought like this or nobody freaked out is because, A, like, Brendan's got buddies, and Brendan's got a bunch of buddies on the beach, and so he was a little safe, but also apparently people didn't believe what Natasha was saying when she was saying that it was the same exact situation right then and there. Except not only was it the same situation, it was a little bit worse, because Chris led Jacinta on for, like, what, a couple days or something like that? Natasha was there for weeks at this point, with one dude getting nothing. And
And so, like, you know, they tell her that, and Joe goes up to, you know, Joe and his, Joe goes up, and he's like, all right, well, we got to confront this dude. We got to go have a conversation about this. And so he's walking over, and they're seeing Joe with all the, with all these other women behind him. And immediately they're just like, oh, what are they coming over here? And like, obviously they have a conversation. Obviously Brendan is not at all accepting of what, or like admitting what he did. He doesn't see a problem with it. They're like, who wrote the, since apparently you guys wrote the rule book on relationships. No. They didn't write the rule book on relationships, guys. And this isn't even about the rules of relationships. This is about common sense. If you're coming to a place where you claim that you're looking for love, then you can't come if you're in love. It's easy as that, baby. It's easy as that, baby. Because you know what that's called? You know what we call that? We call that a free paid vacation on national television. And we call that a scam. Ladies and gentlemen, that is called a scam. So Brendan, he and Piper have a conversation. He's like, yeah, DeAndre's just mad. Which, by the way, the minute he... Keep her... out your mouth. Because DeAndre's an absolute saint. Saved Ivan. And then... ooh, don't even get me started on Ivan. DeAndre's a saint. He says, like, something about her. And like, oh, she's just mad because nobody likes her. Or she, because she didn't got nobody. Oof. Big oof. You're gross, bro. He's just making excuses and bringing other people down. He's, like... he gets to a point which is borderline pretty... like, he's getting real dodgy on the sexist line. Like, he's getting real close to that line. You can see where his respect in the genders lies. So then they say, oh, we're gonna leave on our terms. No, bro, you're gonna leave because we're gonna make your life a living hell. You're gonna leave because we're gonna make your life a living hell. I heard that their Instagram followers started tanking, and I think that it needs to go all the way down to zero. It needs to go so far down that they don't even exist anymore. Let's get these babies unverified, guys. Let's get these babies unverified. Okay? Oh, what else happens? So obviously they go home. And then there's a rose ceremony. Other than that, we do get the most, like there was a point with Riley and Marissa, and if you've watched it, you know what's going on. Riley and Marissa have this, like, this sesh of, like, Marissa's like, yo, I thought it'd be a really, you know,
yeah, I was just thinking over there, I was sitting over there, I was wondering, like, maybe, we could go over there on the beach, in front of everybody, I could put, like, I don't know, I was just, you know, off the top of my head, I could put whipped cream on your chest and lick it off, yeah, I was just thinking, maybe I could, you know, suck whipped cream off your toe, maybe you could put it on my. You could lick it off of anywhere you want on me. Maybe some strawberries or something like that. You know, a little ice cream shake.
And obviously, it's the longest and most, like, borderline porn situation on this show. And they go to the boom boom room, obviously, because you can't do that kind of stuff and then not go to the boom boom room. Which, I mean, they've already been, so it's no big deal. You know, they're in love and they're one of the cutest couples on the beach, which is great. Because, you know, hashtag one of the strongest couples on the beach. Nothing's going to tear them up. Unless Marissa does something stupid or if Riley does something stupid. Either one of them could do something stupid at any point and mess it all up, which I really hope doesn't happen because they're adorable. So there's that, like, just the most uncomfortable situation, like, for everybody. James, which, by the way, don't know how James is still here, don't ask me. James is just, like, everybody else is, like, giving the little side eye, you know, just like, what's going on over there? And James full on, like, James almost made eye contact with them, but James was just, like, straight, like, it was a movie or something, dude. Like, hey, bro, this ain't a free show, man. So then there's a rose ceremony, which finally, you know, it's been two episodes and we haven't gotten a rose ceremony. But obviously, Brendan and Piper are gone. And I think this week it was the girls who were receiving the roses. So the dudes had it. And now there's one less rose. But thank you, ABC, for doing the right thing. Wells comes out and he's like, yo, Jimmy, bring out the rose. And they give one to Natasha. Oh, why? Because she got dragged along for weeks, dude. Weeks. And she deserves a second chance at love. And so she got it. She got it. Congratulations. Congratulations. Which is great. And then who all goes home? I think it was Deandra. It was, let's see. Right. Remember that one time when Tammy was dating Aaron? Aaron was super into Tammy. And then all of a sudden Tammy was like, you know what I'm gonna do? Even though like we've had conversations about like being together and like we're open to like, you know, dating other people. But I know like I'll have feelings for you. You have feelings for me. Hey, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go over there. I'm gonna hop on this dude's lap and I'm gonna make out with him 50 feet in front of your face. Remember when Tammy did that and like left with, to go be with Thomas, and Aaron's like, yo, you're dead to me. And Aaron was like, yo, you're dead to me. And then like Thomas and Tammy were a thing. Yeah. Becca asked Thomas out on a date, and basically ditched Tammy for Thomas, which, Tammy, Aaron is an absolute piece of garbage. Let me just say that right now. Aaron is, when he's angry, he's so petty. He's so petty. And he was petty in this thing. He was like, I warned her this was going to happen. Hey man, maybe not the told you so moment right now. So Tammy goes home because Thomas gives his rose to Becca. Tammy goes home. Deandra goes home. God rest her soul. Like, the fact that Deandra went home is proof that there is no justice in this world. Because you look at Deandra, and let me just ask this. How? And I got a problem with Deandra going home for a couple reasons. One, she's a saint. Deandra is a saint and deserves the world. I'm expecting to see her in Bachelor in Paradise Season 8. But here's my problem. Deandra had two dudes, albeit two not great dudes, chasing after her, giving her jewelry, ugly jewelry. And she, in that situation, because she wasn't vibing with either of them, she said, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna give it to my boy Ivan, because he just got done dirty by his girl Jacinia with the Chris situation. And then I'm gonna give it to him so that he can get another week in paradise. And then this week, guess who Ivan decides to go with? Is it Deandra? No. Because Ivan is feeling something with Kendall? Kent? Which I got nothing against Kendall because of the fact that I don't know anything about these people and I don't know nothing about this girl, but Kendall? My guy, Jacinia is there. Deandra is there. Tammy is there. Not Demi. Demi went home for a reason. Demi played with fire and got hurt, dude. This is what happens when you make a mess, Demi, and then you get attached. Things happen like this.
You took me to the boom boom. Are you just gonna like leave me like this?
Demi, you literally, right off the bat, Demi's whole shtick to lock down dudes was, oh wow, you're so hot, you're so funny. Hey, are you gonna take me to the boom boom room? Every single dude. Look back at every conversations he had. How many times does Demi say boom boom room in this entire show? She's obsessed with it. She's obsessed with the boom boom room. I don't think because she's obsessed with like, you know, doing the boom boom. I think she's obsessed with like, that's her play. That's how you get a guy down, is like, that's how you lock a dude in, is you go up to him, you say, oh wow, look at your muscles. Oh, boom boom room. And then that's it. Like, this dude's like, wow, this girl's gonna have sex with me. I'm gonna give her a rose. Boom. Boom boom. That's it. Lock it up. And then the next week you're just like, oh, see ya.
But she got hurt with Kenny. She got hurt with Kenny because she played with some situations that were messy, bro. She put herself in a messy situation.
Obvio. Obvio que iba a pasar. Obvio que Kenny se iba a ir con Mario otra vez. Like, get out of here. But Kendall? Ivan?
And that comes back. That comes back, which is a great thing. But anyways... Oh my god, so much happens in this episode. So much little things. Lil Jon comes out of nowhere. So, somehow in the universe, Lil Jon showed up along with some other dude. This other dude who comes in is chiseled. Chiseled. And he's got tats on. Tia goes with him on a date. Cool. I think he goes... Tia goes with him on a date. He asks Tia on his date, which is cool. But, like, Natasha, like, everybody wants Natasha to go on this date. But he asks Tia, which is cool. You know, he's got his thing going on. Ripped dude. This dude looks like what you would make. You remember those little dinosaurs that were, like, in pills? And you would pop him in water, and then, like, a little perfect dinosaur cutout would come out? This dude looks like that pill, but a human being. Like, if you wanted to make a human man in a science tube, this is what would come out. This dude is chiseled. And then with the tats and everything, this dude looks like an Instagram artist. Like, not like he makes art and puts it on Instagram. Like, he is the art, and he puts it on Instagram. So he asks Tia, they go, and they have a great date, obviously, they kick it off. Kenny and Mario are doing fantastic. They're doing their whole thing. Then somebody comes to the beach, a new dude comes to the beach, because it's the dudes' times, dudes are coming in, and it's Dr. Joe. I don't know who Dr. Joe is, but it's somebody that Natasha is interested in. And Dr. Joe comes out, and everybody's like, oh, snap, dog, you gotta ask Natasha, fam. And he's interested in asking Natasha. He has a conversation, they kick it off, and they go on this date. In the middle of this date, obviously, because every single person who comes in, they ask, like, oh, so have you had it, like, how has your time here been? Like, and she's like, oh, my time's been pretty crazy. And he's like, do you mind me asking how? And apparently Dr. Joe and Brendan are, like, borderline, like, they're in a bromance, and Natasha tells Mr. Dr. Joe that Brendan is like, oh man, Brendan's my boy though, like, Brendan's my boy. But she tells Mr. Dr. Joe about his best piece of garbage friend, Brendan. And here's two things I gotta say. When she brings up Brendan, Dr. Joe doesn't look surprised. And it was one of the most infuriating moments, because when she says Brendan and Piper, like, when she brings up Piper, Dr. Joe doesn't look surprised. I think Dr. Joe knew what was going on, but I think Dr. Joe did not know that Brendan had chosen Natasha as his victim. And it immediately, like, the date was going super well before him, but immediately after that, the date goes, like, bad. Like, bad. And it's just, it's the most, ugh. It's the most ugh moment of the entire TV show, because here you are, you're happy because Natasha's finally getting a chance to meet with somebody other than Brendan, who has been dragging her along, giving her nothing for weeks, and then Brendan is still ruining the relationship, dude. Brendan, you're a piece of garbage, and you're ruining this girl's life. Let's get Brendan down to zero, people. Let's get that blue check mark taken away. But, like... And, like, it clearly messes with this dude. For some reason, I'd have been like, oh, okay, well, my buddy's a piece of garbage. See ya. Like, I'm really sorry that happened. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to ask you to hang out with him. And also, like, I'm going to have a talk with him because that's messed up. But obviously, Dr. Joe doesn't think it's that messed up because I love Brendan. Brendan's my boy. Which is ridiculous. And so there goes that opportunity. I don't think Natasha and Mr. Dr. Joe are going to be able to salvage that. And then the other thing that happens is Joe Rena goes to a next level, which if you can't tell by my tone, I love Joe Rena. because I feel like they're the best couple. They're the best couple. They've been going strong the entire time, and they're just like they're cute. Joe looks genuinely super happy when he's around Serena. He doesn't look affected at all. Like as long as, or at least what the TV show has shown us, there is no drama with the Kendall situation. He's completely perfectly fine. Especially now that Kendall, I imagine, is with Ivan. Like it's easier for Joe, but like he's completely fine. He's got no worries about the world. And so he's doing this like cute little thing for Serena because Serena's a deity and you got to treat her right, you know, dog. And so Joe does this cute little thing, which by the way, the cute little thing that Joe does is in here. Let me describe it for you. Okay. So there's a blanket on the beach and there's a couple wine glasses and some, I imagine, like champagne. There's some pillows. And that's about it. And if you're wondering to yourself, hey, Ben, that sounds like everything that they've been doing for weeks. That's exactly what it is. Bro, he said, oh, I want to do something special for you. Bro, you literally, like 10 feet away, there's a bed we could be laying on doing the same exact thing we've been doing for weeks. A cute thing would be like, hey, yo, I found this minivan. We're going to go rob a bank. That'd be so cute. Then, like, doing something, which I really hope that they get more supplies than what they get. But, like, I've seen, like, Evan on season three. I just finished watching season three. Evan on season three somehow, out of nowhere, pulls, like, a fish dinner out for Amanda. And you're telling me all Joe could do was get a blanket on the beach? Bro, there's a bed 12 feet away. This is what we've been doing the whole time. Cute little situation. But hey, I digress. I like Joe. He's not a sad boy anymore. Joe's kind of weird. I like Joe. So whatever. So Joe and Serena are having a great time. And they're loving up, man. And Serena expresses her feelings, her deeper feelings for Joe about like, oh, I'm beginning to fall for you. And Joe's like, yo, me too, dog. And it's a beautiful situation. They're both super happy. She's surprised because she was so afraid, which is so sweet. Such a sweet moment. Such a beautiful moment. And then ABC just has to ruin it with some drama. Kendall, for some reason, everybody in this situation has no respect for people in their relationships. So they just watch each other from the distance like some creepos. So, like, there is Joe's trying to have this, you know, moment with Kendall, or with Serena, sorry. Kendall's off in the distance, and she's just like, oh, maybe I still have feelings for Jill. It's kind of tough watching him be so happy with Serena. I'm like, yo, we've had this conversation. This is two episodes ago, my guy. We don't need to know any about this. And so she's sitting there. This is one of the harshest, most uncomfortable moments of this entire show. And keep in mind, in this episode, we saw Marissa lick whipped cream off of Riley's big toe. And this beats that. So Kendall is in this situation where she's watching her ex, who she lived, or she was in a really serious relationship with, you know, having a blossoming relationship with another person. And so she's like, obviously in a zone of like, wow, this kind of sucks. And meanwhile, Ivan's just sitting there like, wow, that's adorable. And obviously catches on to the fact that Kendall is feeling kind of down in the dumps. And so he, imagine in his brain, thinking, oh, this is what I gotta do right now. Like, oh, you know, it'd be such a great idea. In this moment, when she's sitting there looking at her ex, who she's clearly still having feelings for, make out with another girl. This is my time. This is my time to sneak a kiss. He looks over. And he's like, it's so cringy. He grabs her. Like, he like holds her chin and goes, come here. And she like pulls away from him. It's like, no, like, I'm uncomfortable. And he's like, okay. And they just sit there quietly. And it's the most gut-wrenchingly cringy thing on the planet. And it's not cringy necessarily because of the fact that she said no. It's cringy because, like, it's just cringy in general when it happens. It's so weird to see a man deal with rejection because they just sit there and they're just like, oh, but they, okay, but. And like, because like she has a right to say no to like sometimes people just get uncomfortable, you know, sometimes people just aren't in that like mind space, and she wasn't. And, you know, it also is like on him a lot, because why in the hell in that situation would I want that? Like in that situation, she needed support more than she just needed affection. Like, that's not the situation, my guy. What about that said, right now is the time for romance? Bro, he looked so defeated, and she like left, and I was just like, well, Ivan, this is what happens when you get in a messy situation. You know who would have been a real nice addition to this whole place? You know who would have been having a great time with you? My girl Deidre. But you sent her home, dog. You sent her home. Karma, bro. Karma. You're a moron. How's that for some of that? You're a moron. You're stupid. Look at you. Look at you with your jeans. Look at your jeans on and your little beard cut up. You're stupid. Oh, I know what I'm gonna do. Like, you seem really down in the dumps because your ex is making out with somebody over there. Hey, would you like to, like, make out too? The most oblivious guy thing that I've ever seen. And that's it. That's that episode. And this episode was way too long. I pretty much recapped the entire episode. I don't know why. I got into a headspace and I was just like, dude, I gotta talk about it all. People are dumb on this show. I'm watching season 3, and now we're watching season 2, I believe, because we're following the Ashley I Jared romance situation. Because Jared's a moron, apparently. Jared's an absolute, like, lunatic who doesn't know what he wants in the world. And Ashley I is... My sisters are going to hate me for this, and some people might hate me for this as well, but Ashley I is psychotic. I watched season 3. She's insane. And my sisters told me to watch season 2, her first season, on the Batch Pad. Because to get deeper into, like, why she's like that in season 3. Yeah, season 2, she's insane. Dude, season 2, she has literally a 2-sentence exchange with Jared and is already like, he's talking to Jade now, even though I thought we had a connection. Bro. Like, I feel for her because she obviously feels like so much pain when it comes to this stuff. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting completely different vibes from Jared at the time than she was, because like clearly they ended up together. If you didn't know, they ended up together, and I'm watching all that, and my sisters are going to hate me for this because I'm going into this with zero information. All I know is that I think I saw Jared's season, or the season that he was on The Bachelorette. I probably ran into Ashley's season a couple times at some point in my life. My sisters didn't like me watching Bachelor in Paradise because of the fact that I would imagine that my sisters, and by the way, if my sisters are listening to this, I love you. I imagine the reason that they didn't like me watching it is because it's A, you know, primarily not a show that a lot of guys watch, but also B, I imagine that they thought I was just watching it for all the fine honeys on the show, which by the way, yeah, maybe. But at the same time, soy mexicano, hermanas. Soy mexicano. A mí me gusta el chisme. A mí me gusta el chisme. Déjame ser. They come in bias, you know? And now finally I'm a grown man. I'm married. I got to find honey on my own. And I didn't have to go to Mexico. Weird how that works out. That must be how normal people find relationships. um,
So yeah, I'm following that. I'll talk about that a little bit as well, but I'm getting more information as we go. Me and my wife are binging this show. Like binging this so much that like I think we're going to have like mental issues after this. But it actually it's really fun. It's really fun because I mean, I love my wife. I love my wife. And it's really fun to see people like think that this is actually going to work out. Like so many of these couples are like oh, this is gonna work out. Like, I think this will last. And then you look up their Instagram afterwards, and you're just like, oh, that didn't last.
Oh, wow. Maybe it's like forming a relationship on national television is not a good thing. What?
Very interesting. Season 3, by the way, Nick, at the end of it, when I watched Nick's season of The Bachelor, everybody, like, all the girls were, like, so sad for him. Like, oh, like, you saying that, like, you felt like you would never find love. It really touched me. And I was just like, this is a guy that I can really, like, get with because he's so sensitive and all that kind of stuff. Like, bro, he had Jen at the end of that season, which, if you're not familiar with Jen is this gorgeous, like, 10 out of 10 girl. That Nick had this that Nick was talking with, and everything was going well, and Nick just at the end of it was like, I want to say that I'm falling in love with you, but my heart is telling me to say goodbye. You idiot, you moron. I have no sympathy for Nick whatsoever. It makes him so annoying. Like, bro, you're over here talking about like, oh, I'll never find love. Bro, you found it. You found that you got in your own head. She was literally telling you constantly. I don't remember how many times Jen told Nick, you've got walls up that you need to let down. He didn't let them down, and then he just gave up. Like, you could still continue. I'm pretty sure that they can still continue these relationships outside. Like, I'm spacing on the rules, but I don't think that you have to get engaged. I think Jen would have been open to, like, just having a normal relationship outside. But, like, he just said, nah, like, I gotta give up. You know, I'm just done. And then he gets his own season. That's how we're gonna reward this man. This man literally, 10 out of 10 gal. And then just, nah, no thanks. Nah, I'm really hoping I get my own season after this. You know what's better than one banging chick? 24. That's what it is the whole time. That's what it was. Also, Nick was unbelievably drunk that entire season. Season 3. Unbelievably drunk. Always drunk. But yeah, dude. That's it. That's the end of this episode, because I'm not going to talk any further, because then I'm going to talk for way too long. It's 9:42 p.m. I got to do the rest of this stuff and upload it and everything, and so that you can listen to it tomorrow for church Sunday. So you can go, so that when you leave church tomorrow, after you're done, you know, getting your time in with the Lord, you can come onto this platform and listen to me talk about Malignant. And recap an entire episode of The Bachelor that you've already seen. Watch The Bachelor in Paradise if you haven't. And if you've made it this far, thank you. I love you. I love you. If you've made it this far already, I love you. Follow me at TickerBipperPod on Twitter. Tweet me as well. If you think I'm stupid, if you think any of my views on all of this, you know, Piper Brendan nonsense, if you think any of my views on all this, like Bachelor in Paradise mess, this Malignant stuff, if you think any of my views are wrong, or if you think any of my views are, just stupid, you think I'm a moron, tell me, tweet me, you won't. And we can have a conversation about it. At TickerBipperPod, tweet me, share this. Subscribe. I don't know if that's even a thing on a lot of podcast apps. Follow, I guess. I don't know. I'm not good at this. Follow, do whatever you gotta do. Follow me on Twitter at TickerBipperPod. I'm just repeating myself at this point because I don't know how to do outros. So I'm just gonna cut it off. Share. Like,
subscribe, comment, stitch this, like just start doing all the things you can do. Take an audio clip from this episode, and then just make TikToks about it. I don't care. I don't. What am I going to do? Sue you? I don't have money for a lawyer. Get the hell out of here. See ya.